2 weeks from tomorrow. If you're doing a fantasy hockey draft, it's coming up quick. Welcome back to the program. Pat Steinberg along with you on this Wednesday afternoon. And let's dive in on the fantasy hockey front and welcome in Sportsnet's Nick Alberga, who has been getting you set for your fantasy hockey drafts at sportsnet.ca for the last week or so. Nick, welcome to the program, my man. How you doing?
Pat, I'm fantastic, and like the rest of the hockey world, still in amazement, I guess, at Zdeno Chara signing with the Washington Capitals. How are you?
I'm still okay. What's your feel on that? Like, I think it's a bad look for the Bruins. I would have kept him. I still think he can play, and I don't like him leaving Boston. But that's I also understand it's a cutthroat business. Where do you fall in on Chara leaving Boston?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, right? We've seen in the last couple of years, even in the market I work in, and John Tavares leaves the island to go back to Toronto. So it's become more of a thing, I think, in the NHL world. The more surprising thing for me was that Boston elected not to re-sign him. It wasn't the other way around, the way it usually is. But, you know, I would not be shocked, and we'll laugh about this, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Bruins put out a rebuild letter in the next 2 weeks, because last time I checked, Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak likely won't start this season due to injury. Patrice Bergeron's getting older. There's less depth up and down that roster. There's still uncertainty with Tuukka Rask, especially what happened in the bubble there. So your guess is as good as mine as to what to expect from the Boston Bruins. And the even more fascinating part for me is the fact that Chara's going to play Boston at least eight times this season. Yeah, like that's going to be great. But I think he'll bring an abundance to that roster. I think there's a lot of depth now on that back end. Could potentially slot into a 5-6 hole with Nick Jensen. I think that, you know, it's very similar to what it was in Boston the last couple of years. Pat, there's just so much depth on this team that he can slot in and nobody can really think about him, and you can just lead by example kind of thing.
And this is no slight on the soon-to-be 44-year-old Chara, but probably not going to get drafted in a lot of fantasy leagues unless plus-minus or PIMs are big in what you're doing. So let's dive in, because I am really fascinated as to the approach to a 56-game season, unprecedented divisional play, and for some teams, no hockey for, when it's all said and done, about 10 months. Tell us what you've got before we dive in depth. Tell us kind of what you've been doing in the last week or so on sportsnet.ca and getting us set for your fantasy hockey drafts.
Yeah, the short answer is a lot. The long answer is, you know, there's an abundance of different articles. And I think you're so right, especially in this day and age, especially in these uncertain times of a 56-game schedule and 116 days. You throw sort of your old strategies out the window in a season like this. Right away when you ask the question, I thought about goaltending. How do you attack goaltending in your drafts? I mean, my theory is that you probably have to go after a bona fide guy, a la like a Jacob Markstrom early on in your draft, because so many teams are going with tandems. There's buffer zones in the schedule. There's baseball style back-to-back. So I think I want that guy who I know is going to play 2, 3, 4 times a week. And just hope for the best. But you're right. Even the interdivisional play is just going to be so weird. So it's really subjective. And I think the biggest piece of advice I can give to any fantasy owner out there is just, you know, look at the divisions and pinpoint what you see happening in those divisions, and then sort of build off that when trying to quantify the ranking and where you feel there is value in selecting a player. But yeah, there's a lot of questions to be answered when it comes to this fantasy season in general.
So you've got your top 250 up at sportsnet.ca, so you can go check out Nick's rankings 1 through 250. No surprise who you've got at number one in Connor McDavid. And really, if you're drafting inside the top 4 or 5, you're pretty okay with who you're getting with that pick. But I guess there's no surprises as to who is in your top 5 or top 10. But I did. You went MacKinnon over Draisaitl at 2. Hey.
Yeah, and I know this is going to disturb a lot of people in your market in Calgary, but I just think, you know, it was easy for me, at least. I know the boys at NHL.com, who do great work fantasy as well, have MacKinnon number one. Again, it's all subjective. Just my ideology is that, you know, Connor McDavid has the highest ceiling. I would just lose sleep knowing I passed over Connor McDavid, even in a 56-game season, and he goes out and scores 100-plus points. So, both guys are going to rip it up. Like, I like MacKinnon in that division, in the new West division quite a bit. And I like McDavid to rip it up here in the North division. So, to each their own, but I would go with McDavid. And I think I've polled a lot of people. I think a lot of people are with me on that front. He just brings too much to the table, even in fantasy hockey.
Now, Drysdale was the guy who led the way last year, though, and, mm-hmm. and he goes number three. And again, if you take Drysdale at three or MacKinnon at three, you're fine. But why not Drysdale inside the top two?
It's just, you know, there's only one puck to go around. I wonder with line deployment, too, you know, I wonder how Tyson Barrie factors in on the back end. You know, I wonder from a defensive standpoint who the Edmonton Oilers are playing on a nightly basis. And I wonder if they have to give a bit defensively because of who they have in Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith. You know, among my stuff that I did in my breakdown of Canada and my fantasy rankings, I do not like the Oilers' goaltending situation at all. And I wonder if Dave Tippett, the head coach, elects to tighten things up a bit more. So again, it's very, very subjective. You can make a strong case to have Drysdale, you know, hell, even number one because of the season he had. But you know, based on talent and trajectory alone, I had to go McDavid, MacKinnon, and Drysdale my top three.
Nick Alberga is with us from Sportsnet, Sportsnet Radio Network, and also Sportsnet.ca, where his fantasy hockey previews are up. The top 250 is up. Anything in that top 250 that, like, you yourself consider a hot take? Anything that you would consider controversial that you want to fight for?
Well, my biggest piece of advice is to extract value wherever you can find said value. I mean, for instance, we can even look at the Calgary Flames since we are in Calgary. My highest ranked Flame is Johnny Gaudreau at 32. I got Matthew Tkachuk at 34 and Elias Lindholm at 60. I like the dual eligibility with all those guys. I think there's significant value in Sean Monahan and Mark Giordano. Even guys who I took waiver, you know, flyers on last year, like Andrew Mangiapane brought a lot to my roster last year. And it's normally not a guy many people think about, but the depth scoring, same with Backlund, right? Like there's a lot of value to be had. My biggest piece of advice to your question would just be to extract value where you can see possible. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you want to see trends. I think you want to pinpoint some guys who you forecasting, you know, continuing to have strong seasons. Like Kevin Fiala is a guy who right away came to mind. He had 30 points in the last 28 games last year because he's tucked away in Minnesota. Nobody really thinks about him. You know, another guy I would throw out there, Andrei Svechnikov with the Carolina Hurricanes, had a brilliant regular season last year. You know, grew exponentially, I would say, from year one to year two in the NHL. I think he's poised for stardom. Elias Pettersson in Vancouver. There's a lot of guys, I would say, within the top 50 who can take that next step and will continue to take that next step. Even Amika Zibanejad, who just absolutely torched the NHL last year. I wonder how the direction and what he continues doing there. So I think if you continue to just look and try to find the value, it'll hit you right in the head and you'll be able to extract that value because that's all it is in fantasy hockey, especially when you get, as you mentioned, outside the top 10, top 15, and you start making actual picks. You got to find some value where you can get it.
Your latest article today came up a couple of hours ago, put up at sportsnet.ca, is about the North Division, specifically targeting the North Division. So how would you, like, if you're going division by division, and specifically in this Canadian division, what would your approach be there?
So first and foremost, you know, I echo the sentiments I said earlier on that I think it's very, very subjective. This is how I broke it down. But again, I think the most important part, especially in this season with teams only playing within their division, I think what you want to do is map out how you see the division playing out and then going for that from there. You know, for example, I think the Maple Leafs, the Calgary Flames, the Montreal Canadiens are going to be involved in the conversation for the number one spot in the North Division. So ultimately, you want to look at players from that team. I mentioned Jacob Markstrom is certainly a guy I have my eye on. Carey Price of the Montreal Canadiens, especially when you talk goaltending, right? Mm-hmm. Frederick Anderson's another guy with the Maple Leafs on a contract year. I expect maybe a contract-type year for him where he maybe has a career season. So I think you want to look at guys like that, but I think it's important to stress that you want to look at these rosters outside of the given guys, right? Like, I don't know if Edmonton's going to make the playoffs, but I know given – you know, the big boys are going to step up. McDavid, Drysdale, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is in a contract year as well. And I do think there's a bit of value in Tyson Barrie as sort of a depth defenseman on your roster. So that's how I'd map it out. But certainly you want players on successful teams, you know, funny enough to have success in your own fantasy league.
I really like the idea, and the area that I, you know, getting ready for drafts myself, the area that I dove in most on was your article about players on contract years and how you might be able, you talk about exploiting value. Well, there's an idea when it comes to exploiting value, because there can be, I don't know if it's a science, but sometimes there can be, you're on a contract year and maybe that point total goes up. Tell us about some of the targets there.
Yeah, the contract year phenomenon. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of players, I'm sure you have, about what goes into the mentality of a player in a contract year. Because more times than not, we've seen it in every professional sport. You know, even the NBA with Fred VanVleet went absolutely off last year, got paid by Toronto, hasn't been the same player. And there is a bit of regression, it seems, after signing that big fat contract. All, you know, the guy who comes to mind right away is Drew Doughty with the LA Kings. It's a heavy weight to live up to the expectation of signing that deal. But along those lines, I think it's an important tool to use in fantasy hockey is to pinpoint some guys throughout your draft that you know there's motivation there. And I like to pinpoint guys outside of the top 100 to say, you know, these guys are outside the top 100, but I like the value and I like the potential here, right? You're looking for a guy to break loose and want that money and go after that money. Some guys that come to mind, Frederik Andersen of the Maple Leafs, as I mentioned. I really like Dougie Hamilton of the Carolina Hurricanes this season. I have him ranked 56, maybe above what most people have him ranked. But let's not forget, before he went down last year in January, he had 14 goals and 40 points in 47 regular season games. That's right there. I know Flames fans hate to hear this, but in the conversation for the Norris Trophy at that point, midway through last season. Some other guys quickly, Jordan Binnington of the St. Louis Blues. I think you can find some great value in an RFA like Rasmus Dahlin with the Buffalo Sabres, especially with Taylor Hall's arrival there. There's going to be points and more points around the board for Buffalo. I mentioned Kevin Fiala, you know, down the list a bit more. Kyle Palmieri comes to mind in a contract here with the Devils. Ilya Samsonov with the Washington Capitals. Philip Grubauer is a guy I like Colorado. I just wonder about the injury history with Philip Grubauer. If he can stay healthy, the value is going to right itself. I think he's going to get tons of wins and tons of good stats. But again, I still have my reservations. And the last two on my list were Neil Pionk, quietly a point producer on the back end for the Winnipeg Jets, so you can find late in your drafts. And Oliver Bjorkstrand, remember that name for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yep. And then I found this quite interesting. I don't disagree, but I'll let you hit it out of the park. You ranked your top 10 rookies to keep an eye on. A number one overall pick, Alexis Lafreniere, not ranked number one for you.
It's all subjective again, but you know there's a method to my madness. Recency bias, of course. You know it's. We've had so much time to get horny, for a lack of better term, when it comes to Alexi Lafreniere. I think among the conversation I would have with you is the fact that Lafreniere hasn't played meaningful hockey in a long, long time. You can say that about a lot of prospects. The age factor as well. I always love to laugh about Artemi Panarin. What was he, 25 when he won the Rookie of the Year?
Yep.
You look at Igor Shesterkin, he'll be 25, a puck drop. The Rangers, I think, will be in the hunt for a playoff spot. This kid is legit in between the pipes for the New York Rangers. Same kind of conversation for Kirill Kaprizov, right? He's 23 with the Minnesota Wild. He's going to play with Kevin Fiala on the top line. And I think there's just a lot of value there because somebody needs to provide offense for Minnesota. And I think it's going to be simple for Kaprizov. So that's why I have Lafreniere at number three. And again, there's only one puck to go around. I expect Kaapo Kakko to have a better season. I expect a bit of regression from Ryan Strome, who was a monster in a contract year. You want to talk about contract years? He was great last year. But his connection to Artemi Panarin's huge, and Mika Zibanejad. I just wonder in general, Pat, with the New York Rangers, how this team will look. We've seen it time and time again, especially in the last couple of years, when there's no expectations, teams seem to go above and beyond. But the moment teams start to game plan around you and start looking at you and say, hey, we're hunting after you, the narrative changes. So I wonder how the Rangers, I should say, will deal with the pressure this season.
So all of this is up right now at sportsnet.ca. Nick Alberga's top 250 contract players to keep an eye on, and on expiring contracts, rookies, and targeting the North Division. You can follow him on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy. What else can we expect throughout the season? What else can we expect in the next few days here, Nick?
Yep, so I will continue on. As you all know, listening to me earlier today, I do fill in from time to time hosting Hockey Central when Merrick or Amber can't do it. Again, I'm doing the pre-intermission and post-game for the Leafs broadcast this season, so plenty of games ahead for the Maple Leafs and the Calgary Flames. And the top for that, if you're looking for fantasy stuff, I'll continue on with my two articles a week, a weekly mailbag where I'll answer your questions on sportsnet.ca. as well as my 20 fantasy thoughts, off of what Elliot Friedman does a great job of. So I'll give 20 fantasy thoughts every Sunday to help you win your leagues, and you're going to need it more than ever, especially in this shortened season. But it should be a lot of fun, Pat.
Great stuff, man. We'll check it out at sportsnet.ca. Thanks for doing this today, Nick.
Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
Nick Alberga from Sportsnet. Check him out, sportsnet.ca, as you get set for your fantasy hockey drafts coming up in the next couple of weeks.